Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
No matter where you look.
evening, everyone. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. It is September the 27th, year of our Lord 2022. It is the last Tuesday of the month of September. The month has gone by fast. Hope you have enjoyed this fall day that we have had here in the Carolinas. Of course, we are in prayer for those who are in the path of Hurricane Ian. We pray that they will be safe, that those who have needed to evacuate will do so. We also know that in a few days, we may be impacted by that same hurricane here in the Carolinas. So we certainly send our prayers out to those who are going through at this time. Of course, you know that First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we're now having in-person services. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of the services of First Baptist of Holly Springs. Our services start each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. we go into the sanctuary at First Baptist, and our services are there. You can come and be a part of it. Now, of course, we are doing all that we can to make sure that the people are safe in the house of God. We are taking temperatures. We ask that you wear your face covering, and we do practice social distancing. However, you are cordially invited to come and be a part of our services. We also would like to invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share. On the Facebook page, you'll find more information about First Baptist. You'll find more information about the events, upcoming events at First Baptist as well. You'll also be able to watch the Sunday morning service. As I said before, we go live every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on Facebook Live. So you can see the Sunday morning services of First Baptist of Holly Springs. Also, on that Facebook page, you'll find the link for the Bible study. If you would like to hear the Bible study over the internet, you could click on the link and you could hear the Bible study over the internet. If you would like to participate, call in and be a part of the Bible study, that number is area code 845-241-9839, area code 845-241-9839. You'll find a plethora of information on First Baptist on the Facebook page. So go there. Go to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page and be a part of the First Baptist community. Now, there are three ways in which you can give to the house of God. Of course, you can come and bring your offering on Sunday morning and your gifts as well. Also, you can mail your offerings and gifts to the church. Go to the Facebook page and find the correct mailing address for that. You can stop by the church between the hour of 10 and 11:30, and you can drop off your offering and your tithes. The trustees are there to make sure that your financial needs are met. Also, we do have a Cash App. You can use the Cash App. The Cash App is FBCHS. Of course, you put the dollar sign before that, FBCHS. That stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can be a supporter of the house of God tonight. Our Father and our God, we thank you for another Bible study. We thank you for those who are on the line. We thank you for those who are listening over the internet, those who will hear this Bible study long after it has been recorded. We pray, God, now that you will just touch us with your finger of love. We ask, God, that you will watch out for those who are in the path of this hurricane. God, we know that there's a lot of destruction will come through. So we pray, God, that your blessings will be with them. And then, God, we just ask that you would just touch people everywhere. Seems like people have a lot going on in their lives, a lot on their mind. They're going through a lot of circumstances and a lot of changes in their lives. We just ask, God, that you will have mercy and allow your spirit to dwell with them, to let them know that everything is going to be all right. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Tonight, our Bible study comes from the book of Psalm. We did one earlier this year, close to this one. This is Psalm 107. I think earlier this year we did Psalm 106, but I want to go to Psalm 107. We're going to work with the verses 1 through 9, and then we're going to go down to 39 and 43. Psalm 107. Verses 1 through 9, and then we'll go to skip down to 39 through 43. The title or the theme of this lesson is called God's Provision for the Redeemed. God's Provision for the redeemed. God's provision for the redeemed. The children of Israel had a lot to praise God for. Throughout their history, their disobedience had led to many invasions by other nations, often resulting in Israel being taken captive in exile from their land, a land that God promised them. In this lesson tonight, the psalmist focuses on God's deliverance from Babylon's captivity. Being allowed to return to their homeland after 70 years of slavery in Babylon was surely worth praising the Lord. The captivity of sin has put the Lord in the delivering business. He's come to the aid of those who have known him and cry out to him to be delivered from any and all situations brought on by their own sinful actions. Of course, we praise God for delivering us from our present situations. But like the psalmist, we should praise him for every past action of deliverance as well. So when we go to this particular psalm, it's good to know that the word psalm comes from the Greek term meaning a poem sung to an accompaniment or to a musical instrument. The Hebrew title for this is Psalms, which means a book of praise. Although most psalms were ascribed to David, not all of the psalms were written by him. 73 psalms were written by David, 12 by Asaph, 2 by Solomon, 1 by Moses, 1 by Ethan, and 12 to the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah, a family of Levitical singers and musicians. And this is how the psalms came about. Many of the psalms have super subscriptions before the psalm, which provides some historical information like who the author is of that particular psalm. If when you look at the Bible, there's always some letters and italicized letters that tell you about who wrote the psalm and what that psalm is about. But the subscription or the introduction to Psalm 107 only says God's provision for the redeemed. It does not give the name of the author, and it does not give the date of the author. So when we go to 107, verse 9, it says in a very familiar passage of scripture to all of us in the house of God, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." It begins with a general call to all to give thanks to the Lord. He gives two reasons why we should give thanks. First, because he is good. This is undeniable. Psalm 73 and 1 confirms that when the psalmist said, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart," not only has God been good to Israel, but also good believers today also have a clean and pure heart. And God is good to those who follow after him. The second reason that the psalmist gives for why we should give thanks to God is because his mercy endureth forever. In other words, the Lord's compassion and loving kindness will long last forever and will never end. That's why verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he have redeemed from the hand of the enemy." This term, redeem simply means to buy back for a price. Since the psalm focuses on the Lord's redemption of the nation of Israel from captivity in Babylon, the price to be paid would be Babylon's defeat at the hands of the Persians, who would then under King Cyrus. This King Cyrus would allow the captive Jews to return home. We find this in 2 Chronicles 36 through 22 and 23. I think we did a study about that earlier this year as well. Also, you'll find more information about that in the book of Ezra 1:1-4. So the redeemed in this verse refers to the Hebrews whom God delivered from captivity, who he had redeemed from the land, from the hand of the enemy. In this case, the enemy refers to the Babylon. God delivered the people not by might, not by power, but by his spirit. Working on the spirits of man, the psalmist called on Israel to redeem those who are redeemed of the Lord. And of course, today we see the same thing. God has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy, from Satan. God has redeemed us, not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. His Spirit working in us and through us. He has redeemed us from the sin of the enemy and has taken us out of his hand. And that's why it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What are we supposed to say? In verse 1, the psalmist makes it very clear to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. It appears then that the word say so means that the psalmist was calling on all of Israel who had been redeemed from Babylon captivity to say or to speak out the same thing that he heard or that he had said. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. This would be their praise to the Lord. Today, believers are redeemed of the Lord. In Galatians 3 and 13, 1 Peter 1 and 18, because the great Redeemer has saved us from sin and saved us from going to a dying hell, we as believers today have more reason to say so. That means we ought to proclaim, we ought to tell the world that God is good. We ought to tell the world that his mercy endureth forever. If you are redeemed, you can't keep it to yourself. You ought to say so. You ought to tell it everywhere you go that God is good and his mercy endureth forever. Verse 3 says, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. As a result of the Assyrian and Babylonian invasion of Israel, the Israelites had been dispersed like wild outcasts from their own land. But when God redeemed them, he gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. In other words, no matter what country his people had been scattered in, God kept his promise and brought them back home. You'll find that in Deuteronomy 30 and 4. Yes, God knows those who belong to him, and he knows where to find them. In verse 4, it says, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. The mention of they wandered in the wilderness, of course, deals with the fact that Israel wandered for 40 years after being freed from slavery in Egypt. But in the context of this particular psalm, it can also refer to the return from Babylon's captivity. Certainly, that wasn't an easy journey for God's people. Undoubtedly, they were bewildered, and they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, meaning they journeyed in the desert where there was no roads that had been previously traveled. As they traveled back to Israel, those delivered captivities found no cities. They found no place to dwell in. They found no dwelling place to rest. There were no conveniences, no accommodations, and no cities where they could keep and seek lodging. He says in verse 5, they were hungry and thirsty, and their souls fainted in them. In the psalmist, as he continues to describe God's people's journey back to their homeland from Babylon, he says they were hungry and thirsty. Their souls fainted in them. That means that they were in danger of perishing, not only from not eating, not only from a dry and barren desert, but their soul had been fractured. That means they didn't have any hope. They were tired. They had run out of hope. Those who always have plenty don't know how miserable it is to not have any hope, to be hungry or to be thirsty, or not to have a place to lay your head. Those of us who have been blessed by the Lord to have those things, we don't know just how miserable it is. This is the case for Israel in the wilderness, and maybe even others who were among those. We could certainly relate to that. He says in verse 6, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. In their distress, God's people did what the Apostle James encouraged all believers to do. James 5 and 13, call on the Lord. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. When trouble seems to be more than we can stand, That's the time to pray and cry out to the Lord. And sometimes the only thing you can say is, Lord, help me. God does not need to hear the whole story because he knows what you're experiencing, just like he knows what his people are going through. In response to their cries for help, God answered and delivered them out of their distress. Verse 7, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. As part of his answer to their cry for help in their time of trouble in the desert, God led them forth by the right way. Surely, there are a lot of people who will lead you the wrong way, but God will always lead you by the right way. Although we may sometimes question God's way, but if we continue to follow him, we will find out that it was the right way all the time. For Israel, God was leading them in the right way so that they might go to a city of habitation. The city of habitation, or the place where his people would dwell, was Jerusalem. By application, just like the Israelites there, God is leading us to a city. We are like strangers, pilgrims, traveling through a foreign land, but we are under the guidance of a God that is wise, a God that has good counsel, a God who will lead us in the right way, so that when this journey is over, that we can find our city of habitation, that city that we call heaven, that place that is built with a foundation whose builder and maker is God himself. Verse 8, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of man. Since God had done all this for Israel and received his mercy, the psalmist declared, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness, meaning all people would praise him. The word man does not mean just men, but all those who had come under the great provision of God would praise him. The psalmist also said that God should be praised for his wonderful works to the children of man. The phrase children of man refers to the sons and daughters of mankind in general who may not know the Lord. We'll find that in 2 Samuel 7 and 14. And the sons and daughters of non-Jews in particular. The psalmist expected those who had received mercy from God to render him praise in return. We must acknowledge that God shows his goodness to the children of man. Those who may be saved, those who follow after him, God has shown wonderful works, and many will testify today of the great works that God has brought about in their lives simply because they followed where God led them in the right way. And verse 9, for he satisfieth the longing soul, and he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. The psalmist had previously declared that God's people had been hungry and thirsty, and their souls fainted in them. Now, he reveals that God delivers his people and reverses their troubling situation. The psalmist said, for he satisfied their longing soul and filleth their hunger soul with goodness. The Lord often supplies Israel's needs and wonderfully delivered them from their situation before they perished. The same God who led Israel has led us and fed us all of our lives with food for both the body and the soul. For truly he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Those who hunger, those who thirst after righteousness, after the living God, and commune with him, shall be satisfied with the goodness of his mercy and the goodness of his house. Now, I want to skip down to verse 39, 107, 39. I want to go there. It says, again, they were minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. As we study the history of the Israelitic people, especially in the book of Judges, we find that they never seem to quite get that understanding, that discipline thing right with God. God would always come to their rescue. He would always deliver them. But somehow or another, they will always backslide. They will always have problems with God's teaching. You'll find that in Judges 2, 11 and 12, Judges 16, 3 through 7, Judges 10 and 12, Judges 31, also Judges 4 and 1. God had caused them to grow in numbers. But because of their constant disobedience, the psalmist said, again, they were diminished, meaning that God continued to diminish or reduce their population. In addition, the people were brought low through oppression and affliction and sorrow, all because they refused to obey the Lord. The truth is that God has many ways of reversing the fortunes of man and making men poor. He can do it by oppression. He can do it by affliction. He can do it by sorrow, just like he did with Job to humble him. In verse 40, he poureth contempt upon princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. No one is exempt from God's dealing, not even royalty. For here the psalmist says he poureth contempt upon princes. In other words, God even brings shame to great leaders. He also causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. This means that God also makes the high and the mighty princes to wander, to be empty, to not know what to do, not know where to go, not know which road to travel. The scriptures are replete with instances where God humbled or brought low powerful and mighty leaders. You'll find that in Exodus 4, 14, when he took down Pharaoh. You'll find it in the book of Daniel, when he took down Nebuchadnezzar. God has the power to bring down even those who are in lofty places. And the next verse clears it up. This verse says, yet sitteth the poor on high from affliction and maketh him families like a flock. After having said how God reverses the exalted condition of princes, to one of contempt. In this verse, the psalmist declares how God can reverse the condition of the poor and those who are humble. He says, yet sitteth he the poor on high from affliction and maketh him family like a flock. Those who are poor, those who were afflicted and trampled on, are not only delivered, but God has also set them on high, out of the reach of their affliction, out of the reach of their trouble, and gave them places of honor. And God adds to that honor elevation by giving them a multitude of children, for he maketh him families like a flock. In other words, God not only reverses the condition of the poor, he also gives them children. He also gives them many people, a large family. For as another psalmist said, when speaking of the joys, happy is the man that hath his quiver filled of them. They shall not be ashamed. Certainly God is to be credited with setting up families and building them. The Lord's point for reversing the condition of the poor and the prince is to remind us that princes should not be envied, nor should the poor be looked down upon, because God has many ways of changing the condition and the circumstances of both. In verse 42, the righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Of course, the righteousness of those who are right with God, those who follow his ways, and those who seek to do those things that please him. Here, the psalmist declares that the righteous observes with pleasure the reversal of circumstances presented in the previous verses. He says, the righteous shall see it and rejoice. The pronoun it refers to the reversal of condition as circumstances of the poor and the princes. When those who are righteous shall see it, these changes they rejoice, glorifying God for showing his dominion over the children of man. One cannot help but rejoice when he or she witnesses how God manages people to serve his own purpose. When we as saints see the despised poor lifted up and the prideful brought down low, we can rejoice because God has once again kept his promise. Not only will the righteous rejoice at seeing the reversal of these circumstances, but in addition, sinners will be silenced. For the last part of this verse says, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. When sinners see how their punishment answers their sin and how justly God deals with them and taking away from them their gifts which they have abused, they won't have a word to say for themselves. God will be justified and perfectly clear in what he does. When we see those who are going through right now, those who people who were in lofty positions, who were corrupt, those people who were in lofty positions, who used their positions to garner their own wealth, to garner their own power, those people, we see them taken down by God. That lets us know that we serve a just God. That lets us know that there are people who cannot get away with things with God. And God is justified by doing so. When we abuse the gifts, when we abuse the situations and the positions that God has brought us in, has given to us, then we find ourselves on the wrong end of dealing with God. So many people in the church, so many leaders in the church have abused their positions as leaders in the church. And because of that, it's caused the whole church to flounder. And God is not pleased with that. And God is perfectly justified to bring down those corrupt preachers, bring down those corrupt leaders, bring down those corrupt politicians, bring down those corrupt people who are using and abusing their positions to oppress other people. Then finally, that last verse says, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The psalmist concludes by declaring who it is that shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The word loving kindness is often translated in scripture as mercy. The psalmist is saying that only a wise person who will observe these things, meaning the different ways God deals with his people, shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The truth is that sometimes it's hard for us to understand why God shows his loving kindness or his mercy to those who we don't think deserve it. But whosoever is wise in their wisdom, they will come to understand the loving kindness of God and why he does have mercy on whom he will have mercy on. This understanding can go a long way to helping us better become Christians. A lot of times we want God to punish people that we want God to punish, but God has a way of dealing with his own. You'll find that in Romans 9 and 15, God has a way of dealing with those to bring them in position with him. You see, beloved, the whole crux of this lesson, we as Christians, we enjoy the blessings of God every day. We enjoy the bright sunshine. We enjoy the rain. We enjoy our families and our friends. We enjoy our churches. We enjoy our worship in the Lord. We should never be guilty of overlooking God's blessings or being ungrateful for all he has done for us. Praise belongs to God, and he hates the sin of ingratitude as much as anything else that he hates. Unfortunately, it's easy to be less than grateful. It's easy for us to receive God's blessing and then turn our back on him because of our human nature. If the earth itself, the hills and the valleys and the pastures can give praise to God, then certainly we can rejoice and we can praise him too. We give God the praise throughout our lives, in good times times and in bad times. We give him the praise because he's God all by himself. And the Bible says that those who are wise understand it. Those who understand what God is doing in their lives will also understand that. They will hear, and they will adhere to the word of the Lord. That is our lesson for tonight. I wanted to bring this lesson because so many times we have a false concept of God's mercy and God's grace. So many times we forget to thank God for past situations that he has brought us out of. We always are concerned with the situation that we're in now or the problem that we think we're going to face tomorrow. But we should give God thanks, not just for today, but for yesterday. Give him thanks for the things that he has brought us out of already. If it had not been for the Lord, the enemy would have swallowed us up. The Bible plainly teaches us that. The Bible teaches us that so that we will always be mindful, not just of the present, not just of the future, but of the past. We should always give God the glory, for God himself is our sovereign. The Bible said, then they cried out unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. Psalm 107 and 6. When we cry out to God, when we express ourselves unto God, God would then hear and deliver us from our distress. Oh, yes. The Bible says, tells us that we should always call on the Lord. And when we call on the Lord, he will hear our prayers. That is our lesson for tonight. There may be some on the line who would like to comment. Of course, you're not obligated to do so. I'm going to call the area code and the last four digits of your phone number. If you would like to participate, if you'd like to say something to add to the lesson, this is your part of the Bible study, the opportunity for you to talk and for you to give your insight over the Bible study for tonight. We thank and praise God for all of you who are on the line. It seems like we have a full board. I'm going to start with area code 919, last four digits, 1694. Are you on the line?
Yes, Pastor Rogers, good evening.
Good evening, how are you?
Hello.
Good, yes, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm actually traveling home from work right now, and I did catch a portion of the study tonight, if I had a shout, I would do it right now. But you said, and I'm not sure if you were reading a scripture or reading some of your commentary, but I got the part that said we should not be envious of princes nor look down on the poor. Because
that's
God
right.
has the power to change it, to change any situation.
That's right.
Oh my God, we serve a great God. That right there speaks so much. That speaks volumes right there. That is so powerful and just itself. And that's a reminder that that's something we should think about every day. And like you said, we should think about how He's bought us, how He's carried us. How he's made ways, how he's opened doors, how he's what everything he's done from this moment back, we should be, you know, grateful and honor him and praise him about it every day also. So I just, like I said, I'm driving, but I just thank you for calling me so I could get that out. I'm so grateful. Thank God for Jesus, thank God for the word tonight.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so very much, Deacon Taylor. Thank you so very much. Area code 919, last four digits, 3447. Are you on the line? 3447.
Hey, Pastor. This is Deacon Taylor. I'm also on the road. Traveling, Deacon. But I just wanted to tell you, I mean, I don't have anything to add, but I just pray that every household represented here tonight is just blessed and there's anything that anyone's going through, that just depend on God and just hold, be encouraged, because we are surrounded by death and everything else. And I have four funerals to go to this week. But I'm telling you, God's good. He is great. But I don't have anything to add. I just want to tell you that. I love you all.
Well, thank you so very much, Deacon Fuller. Before you go, I want to just ask you a question before you go. I know you're on the road. I got traveling deacons tonight. But I wanted to ask you, when we talk about God's provision for the redeemed, it's just not being saved. But there are more things that God has for those who will follow after him. Can you talk about that just for a minute?
Yeah, I think you said provisions for the redeemed. Yes, there are definitely more things than just being saved, because once you're saved, that's the first step of getting in and doing the work of God. Yes, you are saved. Your soul is saved, but your mission is to encourage others, to bring others to the fold. So, I mean, even just getting baptized, you're not saved. But when you go to the next step of accepting God and doing the works of God, and having the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost within your life, that's when you're saved. But I will say this, though, that just being in existence of a saved state, that's not what God would have us to do. He doesn't want us to be stagnant in our saved state. He wants us to go out and profess the word to everyone. So I think that's what you're leaning into, what the provisions of God, because that's what I have.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's exactly what I was talking about. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Thank you. 919-2314, Trustee Mangum, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. I enjoyed the lesson.
Good. You have anything you like to add?
Well, I was just kind of listening here, but I got one little thing to say here, that we just don't give God enough thanks. You know, we just take our blessings for granted. Sometimes, like you say, we wonder why things happen to us and not others, and because we think that they deserve it and we don't. But God has no, you know, particular persons. He just loves all of us.
Exactly. Let me ask you a question as well. One of the things that the scripture says is that when the people of Israel found themselves in trouble, they will always cry out to the Lord. Why do you think people have such a poor prayer life now? Why don't people pray as much or cry out to the Lord as much as they used to? Why do you think that?
Because they're not really that thankful enough. You know, they just not, it's just in their hearts, and they just have got weak. That's what I say.
Do you think they are? Do you think that they don't know how to pray?
Well, I think I would think they know how to pray, because you know, they don't have to say anything fancy or anything. Just call out to the Lord, and He hears.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Simply just a matter of saying, Lord, help me, you know, and that has worked for a lot of people. You're absolutely right. Thank you so much, Trustee Mangum. Thank you. Let's go to area code 910, last four digits, 5088. I believe that's Deaconess Rainey. Are you on the line?
Yes.
How are
good
you?
Evening,
how are you tonight?
I'm doing good, and hope everyone else is.
Good.
I enjoyed the lesson tonight. Yes, I enjoyed the lesson tonight, and it had a lot of good information on it. And thanks for the breakdown of whenever we may see others that are doing good and not professing the name of God and all that, He has His way and time to deal with everyone.
Amen. In the lesson, we talked about how the children of Israel were allowed to return back to their homeland after being captive for 70 years. And as of course, as they came back to their homeland, they didn't find anything there. And God said that he would lead them in the right way to a place of their habitation. Mm-hmm. How do you relate that to people today who are stumbling in the wilderness, coming out of the wilderness, and they don't see any kind of provision for their lives?
Well, one is to one way they came. You say they came back and there was nothing there, and like people today might be stumbling. They have to. One way is just continue to hold on to God and mm-hmm. trust in Him, and keep crying out to Him. And,
okay.
And as they're crying out, listen, you know, to see what he is saying back to them, listen to the directions, because one thing you were talking about where God was saying to them he was going to show them the way, I think it's the same message. Yeah. So my thing is, I would say to that is just keep listening for God's word and keep speaking to God and allow him to guide you the right direction.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Area code 757, last four digits, 5803. Are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Pastor Rogers, and good evening to everyone.
Good evening. How are you?
Though I'm I'm well, thank you. Though I'm a believer and all, it just still amazes me how God is so wonderful and powerful that he would redeem us from, you know, the hand of our enemy. You know, that when we're in distress, all we have to do is call out and call his name, and, you know, he will answer our prayers. He would deliver us from things. And all we have to do is just believe, call on him and believe. And, you know, it's not a hard thing to do, but there's so many people that just don't understand. As you were saying, those who are wise will understand, but there's so many that don't understand, and they don't take, to me, the time to learn to understand.
We have a lot. Let me ask you a question. We have a lot to thank God for. We did not live in those troubled days where the young Christians were being persecuted. We did not have to go through a lot of things that a lot of people, even some of our ancestors, we didn't have to go through what our ancestors, let's take it there. We didn't have to go through what our ancestors went through. We have a lot to be thankful for. Why do you think there are people who still are not, giving God the, when I say give God the thanks, I'm talking about in their person, in their life. I'm not talking about sitting at home talking about thank you, God. I'm talking about not coming to church, not doing things that have been commanded of us as children of God. We have, I think sometimes we're too spoiled. What do you say about that?
Yes, we've definitely lost our way, and because we have been blessed with more than we had in those times, whether it was our ancestors that were enslaved or whether it was back biblical times, we have so much more now, and it's a little easier, I think, sometimes to get things, and we've just lost our way because it has come a little easier to some. Not to all, but to some, it's come so easy that they lose their way and they forget about God because they got all these shiny things or these, you know, glorious things to them, things that they feel that they put in place of God instead of thinking about God and how they obtain those things. Yeah, I just think a lot of people have lost their way looking at worldly stuff.
Okay. Deacon Taylor, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
We're talking about lost, that people have lost their way. I want to work with that for 1 second. Could you talk about how one can lose their way? I know it's very easy for some. I know those of us who have been a part of the household of faith, we don't see it like that. But there are those who can lose their way very easily. And some people in the house of God can lose their way as well. So can you talk about losing your way for a minute?
Yes, sir. That's a broad subject in itself. But people can lose their way by they can lose sight of what a real true goal is. They can lose sight of. Let's go this way. You mentioned our ancestors. Our ancestors, say two, three, four, five generations ago, was much stronger and had a more insightful idea on heaven, on getting to heaven, on the power of God, on the ability of God, than what some people might have today, because we have so many other number one distractions. We have so many other, we've gotten spoiled, we got so many other things in our mind. We don't get up 3 or 4 in the morning and without the TV and just meditate and listen to God. And I'm not saying we don't, as in everybody don't, but at one time that was what everybody did, I'm sure. And right now that's a new type thing. We put so many other things first, and we don't intentionally do it. We just let what's called life dictate what's more important, or what do we got to do now, or what we have to do next. And then we put Sunday on the seventh day of the week, and line after our working Monday through Friday and doing this on Saturday, and then it's church on Sunday. We put it, we started numbering things, and if you go back to King David, when we start numbering things, things can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I got to say about that. There's so much more I want to say, but that's where I am with that on how we lost our way.
Okay, thank you, you so much. Before we go, Trustee Mangum, it talks about how the Bible said those who are wise will see that. What do you think it means by wise? You're not talking about those who got a lot of book learning, does it? What do you mean by those who are wise?
I think I know what you're saying. You're saying that don't mean book wise, like
right. When he says those who are wise will see this, you're talking about the provision for the redeemed. Those who are wise will understand what it means to give God the glory in their redemption. Now he's not just talking about folk who have degrees or anything, does he? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I wouldn't say that he would be saying that. I don't think that's what it'd be meaning.
Okay. Those who are wise then are those who have lived a life to learn some things, I guess. Those who have been through life enough to know right from wrong, those who are wise. Those who gather their strength and their intelligence from the Lord. And as I said before, this lesson is also about praising God for the provision that he has already given us. A lot of times, as I said before, we have no problem asking God for today and for tomorrow, but sometimes we ought to just thank God for what he did yesterday or last week or last year. All of us who have survived so far this COVID, we ought to be thankful for that. Even though that was 2 years ago, it's still here, but we ought to be thankful for that because we've made it this far. I think that's what he means by those who are wise, those who can count it up and look at where they've been and where they are now. You know, those will be the ones who will be wise enough to see it. Thank all of you tonight. You all have given us some great insight on the lesson. This lesson from the book of Psalm is a great lesson for all God's people and for those who are out of the ark of safety as well. They need to know about the provision of God. For it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this lesson tonight. For you are a great God. You are a good God. And God, we know that your mercy endureth forever. We know, God, that in times of trouble, in times of stress, God, you will provide for us. You have done it in the past. You're doing it right now. And we have no reason to believe, God, that you won't do it tomorrow. So, Father, we put all of our trust in you tonight. We know, God, that we can't even walk without holding your hand. Father, we know that there are times in our lives we just don't know which way to turn. But, God, we know that if we call on you, if we cry aloud and call on your holy name, God, that you will hear our prayers and you will answer us. Mm-hmm. And so, God, we just want to thank you tonight for being God. We just want to thank you tonight, mm-hmm. God, for giving us the wisdom and the understanding to go into your scripture, God, so that we can be better people and better Christians according to your will and the way. So, God, we ask that you will continue to lead us in the right way, that we may find the land of habitation, that we may find the place of our dwelling, that we may come to that homeland after so many years of sojourning in this strange place, God, that you would lead us to a place called home, that we can stay forever and forever in your kindness and your glory. This, God, we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless y'all tonight. Thank you so much for being on the line.
Amen.
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 Good night.
Good night.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.